baby. Extra bright, I want y'all to see this. Turn up the lights in here, baby. You know what I need, want you to see everything. Want you to see everything.
What up, friends, and welcome back to the Ricardo Report. High school sports and hip-hop at Fox Sports, 1340 AM. I'm your host, Chad Ricardo, and joining me, well, not as always. Actually, Miss Mona Anderson is out sick today. Hopefully she'll be back next week. We'll definitely have to see about that. But I do got Rodney Jiggs Johnson. Jiggs, how your Eagles play yesterday?
Yo, what's going on, Chad? Man, we're getting to this.
Oh, your Eagles are losers. Also, I got Mr. Darrell Bump Knight D. How'd you skip? Okay, right. Like, spoken like a true Redskin fan, you didn't lose.
I knew you were going to say that.
There we go. You know what I'm going to say. And just for that, hey, look, if anybody is a huge fan of ESPN shows, I feel like when we bring on the next guest, it's like when Dan Lebatard used to co-host PTI. Darrell, did you? Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Joshy Laurie.
You know what? I'm going to take that as a compliment because you compared me to the great Dan Lebatard.
Oh.
I'm just going to leave it at that.
The great Dan Lebatard. Man. Okay. Well, we'll go ahead and we'll talk NFC East first. And look, Monet's not here. Like I said, she's a little under the weather. I like to go at her first in these situations. But, D, so you got to stand on your own today, bro. Yo, not only did your team tie the game, but your field goal, all of the penalties that you all had, man, your missed field goals, your mistakes, your errors, you're just sloppy, D. You're just sloppy.
It was sloppy, and that's the stuff that kills us in the end. You know, you look like you're going to have some momentum, and then you get a 15-yard penalty for a personal foul, or you get a 5-yard penalty that's going to push your offense back some more or get the other team down the field. Josh Norman had 5 penalties on him. I think Rashad Breeland had 3, and I mean, those were killers. I think we had 15 in total. So a lot of that, those were momentum killers, and that's something we have to eliminate out of our game moving forward.
Now, let me ask you, you're a field goal kicker, though, because despite all of that, I'm disappointed in the Bengals because my hope was that they would come out and absolutely whoop you all's tail. That's what my hope was. Despite that, you still had the ball, you were driving, and you should have won that game. You had a chip shot field goal. Your kicker has been pretty reliable this year to date, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think he's probably the best kicker we've had over the past 4 or 5 years. He's out of all those guys, Forbath, a couple other people, he's my favorite, but he just missed it, straight up missed it.
Well, I guess you can't get any more black and white than that, huh?
No, not at all. But I'm not blaming the game on him, though.
Okay. All right. So 4-3-1. That's your record, as odd as it may sound. It's actually pretty good for you all, because for you all to still be above 500 this late in the season is really odd. And how are you feeling about it? I think a couple of weeks ago you told me 9-7. What do you think?
I do. Well, I
9-7's out of the way. You got to put a 1 on the back of that. So
yeah, got to put 8-7-1 or something like that. But I'm still happy about the way the team is moving, because I think a couple years ago we wouldn't have been in this situation. We wouldn't have driven down the field the way we did against Detroit to take the lead late in the fourth quarter, and the way we played Cincy in overtime. Mm-hmm. I think we would have crumbled in one of those two time periods, but we're building week by week, I think.
Wait, you lost to Detroit?
I know, but I'm
saying, you tied Cincinnati.
We lost to Detroit, but the way we drove down the field before we crumbled is what I like, because that wouldn't have happened a couple years ago.
So you all would have just laid down a lot before that?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Not.
Respect on that level of spin zone, because sure, that was a work of art.
I just,
You have to look at it intrinsically to see what I'm saying.
That's what I'm talking about. That's a real glass half empty approach that you're taking there, you Redskin fan. I love it. Now, Jiggs, I got to come over here to you, because speaking of blowing leads and blowing opportunities, I mean, you all were up, what, 10 points in the fourth quarter? Look, I went to sleep on the game, bro. Like, your boy Wentz, he was playing well again, man. Dak, you all were slowing down the Dak attack. I went to sleep on it, and then you blew it.
Hey, man, so here's what I'm going to do.
let me start out by saying, you know, all of us NFC contenders, obviously we hate the Cowboys, but I will be the one to go out and say, I commend the Cowboys, man. And if, when they take Dak Prescott out of the starting lineup, man, it's going to be a sad day.
Absolutely. But absolutely.
Here's what I expected. And I'm sad to say this for the rest of my Eagles fandom. But I went in this game optimistic. But I did expect that we might have come out with an L on the other side based off of our previous play in these last few weeks. I really thought that Ezekiel Elliott was going to run, you know, slam over us, which he did a couple times, ran over a couple guys. And I just expected that Dak was just going to throw for like 35 points or something like that. But
uh-oh,
we showed up somewhat.
Uh-oh. You are sounding like, are you about to tell me that you're happy with the effort that you all put forward?
Because
it sounds like. Josh, isn't that what it sounds like he's getting to?
Hey, when you're an Eagles fan, moral victories are you count.
Wow.
You need draft picks.
But you have to let me finish my statement, Chad. What I want to say is Carson Wentz showed up. Darren Sproles showed up. I still have issues with the secondary, man. They always seem like they're a step behind. And I'm really starting to take issue with these receivers dropping passes. That seems to be the MO these days for our Philly receivers, is that these balls hit them right in the hand, perfect tosses, and these guys are dropping passes. And they're simple catches that they could be making.
Okay.
And I'll also say, man, late in the game, the reason why we lost this game was because of the play calling of Coach Peterson.
Uh-oh.
He made some questionable calls. I mean, late in the game, how you going to run? I don't even remember what we had. It was like a 3rd and 7 or something. But we could have driven the field, kicked the field goal. He called a screen play.
Yeah.
What? We had 2 consecutive loss of yardage plays at the end of the game, forcing us to punt the ball.
Well, yeah.
And it harkens back to Chip Kelly questionable calls.
Well,
harkens back to the end of the Reed era questionable calls. So, I don't know. I mean, hopefully it's just the first year jitters and he'll, you know, own up to it, which I read that he did. And he'll just make better play calling decisions.
Oh, you know what, man? What I hear from the two of your testimonies about your two teams is that there's a reason why my Giants are the only team from the NFC East that has won a Super Bowl in the last 10 years. There's a reason for this. There's a reason for this.
Yeah, because you got lucky with Eli Manning playing up his potential
two months of
his entire career.
Yeah, we got 2 Super Bowl rings for that, Josh. But moving on, the reason why you're even here right now is because you are a big-time basketball fan, and I know that the basketball season has just now started. One of the huge things, first of all, my Lakers, we don't look horrible, but we're not here to talk about that. My Lakers don't look good by any stretch of the imagination.
Chad. First, I've got to give you, because I thought Darrell was going to win Spin Zone of the Week here, but
no, man.
That about the Lakers, that you take the cake, okay? You've got your star point guard talking about how he was playing as Luke Walton on NBA 2K.
Right.
That is a bad team.
Luke Walton is my favorite basketball player of all time, but that's a conversation for another day. Here's what I want to talk to you about. Russell Westbrook is playing lights out. Russell Westbrook, the Lakers are my team. Russell Westbrook is my favorite player. But, of course, one of the reasons why Russ is able to do what he's doing right now is because that guy, whom I used to have a lot of respect for, Kevin Durant, went ahead and moved over to the Golden State Warriors. So now Golden State, they're not blowing teams out yet. They are 2-1, but they're not blowing teams out yet. And I understand it takes a while to build chemistry. It takes a while to get on the same accord when you got that many star players. So much so that it's akin to the Miami Heat of a few years ago when Bron first got there. The other thing, though, is that this Warriors team used to be so easy to like. Do you, Josh, do you like the Warriors as much now? How do you feel about the Warriors?
I mean, I like the Warriors. They're not my favorite team, but I also like villains, okay? Like, I appreciate the evil Patriots for all that they have been, even though they're the bane of my existence in the playoffs. But back to the point. Yeah, of course it's going to take a while for this team to mesh. Like you said, with the LeBron Heatlets, they were 9-8 to start their first season.
Right.
They're going to take their lumps. There's going to be a ridiculous learning curve for them. But once they hit their stride in a couple of months, we're going to be seeing things that are unheard of.
Well, listen. This is why, guys, Darrell and Jiggs. This is why Josh is not allowed in the opening set, because that's not the question that I ask. Everybody knows that they're going to be good. I don't want to know if they're good, Darrell. What I'm asking you is, how do you feel about? Do you like them? I feel like two years ago.
I answered your question. I like them because they're villains.
We've moved on. 2 years ago, it was easy to love the adorable Steph Curry, the light-skinned Klay Thompson. Like they were like, you know, if your mama had a favorite team, it would be the Golden State Warriors. So, Darrell, do you feel that way about them still, or have they soured to you?
I think their identity is changed in the course of a couple of months, because I think that everybody liked them 2 years ago when they won their first title, and then everybody liked them last year when they lost to Cleveland. But once Kevin Durant made that decision on Independence Day on the 4th of July...
We were with Bo English that day!
We were with Bo English that day. Everything changed, because Kevin Durant was now viewed as a villain, not only for the decision he made, but for the team he decided to go to.
Right.
So I think they're hated now. Obviously, there are going to be fans who love Durant individually, or Steph or Draymond or Klay individually, or the Warriors as a team, but most fans in the NBA or just around the country probably hate Golden State.
Now, and look, the reason why I even wanted to ask this question is because I feel like I'm one of those people. I try not to be emotional in any phases of my life, but I feel emotional about this because I like the Warriors. I like Steph a lot. Look, to anybody out there that doesn't know me personally, as a profession, I host bar and bat mitzvahs on Saturday nights, and all the little Jewish kids, they love Steph Curry. They love the Warriors. But now, you know, Kevin Durant has come over, and the world that used to love this team, I feel as though that's shifting a little bit. Jiggs, you, though, had no issue with Kevin Durant's decision.
No, wait a minute. I did say that I had an issue.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, and I'm gonna stick with that. I still don't like, you know, I'm all against the team stacking ideas. And I will say, I mean, it's an interesting dynamic that just happened. It's like people like them individually. There are a lot of people that like them individually, but people that don't like them together. People, you know, loved Kevin Durant, you know, when he was with, what team did he just come from, man?
The Thunder, Jiggs. The Thunder. This is a sports show.
Listen, I'm having a daddy moment right now. When he came from the Thunder, and then, you know, everybody liked Golden State. They love Steph Curry. But once you put those two together, it's like you created some sort of other monster. And, you know, you're going to get a lot of people that are going to fall off and don't like what he did. And I hold, you know, to what I said earlier on, you know, a few months ago when we talked about this, that, you know, I'm not for the team stacking and I don't like it. Didn't really like it when LeBron went to Miami. And I don't like this decision. So,
okay.
I guess I'll be more informed once we get down the line. Because as I also stated earlier, man, I really don't even like to delve into the basketball season until it's right before playoff time or right after the All-Star game happens. That's when I start to pay attention a little bit more.
So we all agree that that things have kind of turned on the Warriors from a public perception perspective in the very least. But what does this Warriors team have to do to win the fans back? Or can they?
They need LeBron James to go and team up with Carmelo Anthony. They need another bigger villain. That's the only thing that's going to redeem them in the eyes of the public.
See, I don't know that that's the truth, though, because, D, and you chime in here, once Bron won in Miami, I think that it made people kind of simmer down on that a little bit.
Yeah, but here's the main difference between LeBron and Durant. So LeBron's Cavaliers in 2010, they were defeated by, I think it was the Boston Celtics, who went on to go to the NBA Finals. LeBron's Cavaliers that year didn't really have a shot at winning the NBA Finals because it was LeBron and a bunch of role players.
There you go.
Kevin Durant he was up 3-1 in the conference finals and had a shot to get to the finals. They had a team built around Durant, obviously with Westbrook and a couple other guys who could have made a run in the finals, but instead he chose to go to the 73-9 team, the NBA record-breaking team. Now they have four All-Stars in the starting lineup, and I don't think people are going to get over that as quickly as they got over LeBron in Miami. So it's going to take a while, and it's still taking people used to getting – it's people are not used to seeing Kevin Durant in a Golden State jersey as of yet, but – I think it's just going to take a while, and it's different between LeBron and KD.
Good, good. Yeah.
So let me get my opinion in there real quick. I think what's going to have to happen is that they're going to have to lose for a couple of seasons. They're going to have to either make it to the playoffs, lose in the first round, or they're going to have to just miss the playoffs. I think it's going to have to they're going to have to be knocked down to what a normal team is, what an average team does, and once they do that, people will stop hating on them so much because they'll see that, you know, oh, this they built the team, but it didn't happen. So now they'll focus on other things. Well, and then, you know, once they start playing back up to that potential, then they'll get some fans, and then they won't, it won't be as much of a deal anymore.
Well, I can tell you one thing, Jiggs. If this Golden State team does not make the playoffs or at least make it to the finals, Steve Kerr will be looking for another job.
And also Kevin Durant, because he's only locked in there for the season. If things go belly up, he could bail. Get out of Dodge City.
Yep.
Also, another reason why you can't really make the comparison with this late, with this team and the Heat of a couple years ago, the Heat did not have anybody as antagonistic as Draymond Green.
I don't know that that has anything to do with it. Hey, Darrell, do me a favor. Will you send me a message that says, do not, under any circumstances, allow Josh Ilori into the opening set ever again?
You love it. Admit just, it. You man. Love it. And I'm making a valid point. We're talking about...
Note it now.
We'll tweet about that on Facebook.
Talking about a guy who the perception started to turn against as early as last season in Draymond Green, with his antics, with his showboating, with him being just a general boisterous, disrupted. This villain turn for the Warriors was already starting to happen last season. It just got accelerated by Kevin Durant joining them.
The goal is to always put together a team of an opening set in which all of the listeners out there listening can identify with one of the individuals speaking. And I think that we're going to find it a hard time finding an individual to identify with you, Josh.
Cool people, Will. Cool people.
I'm trying to put you in the worst mood, P1 cleaner than your church shoes, really point to just to hurt you, all red lamb just to tease you, none of these toys on lease to, made your whole year in a week to, main out of your leap to, side shot of your leap to, house so empty need a centerpiece, 20 racks a table come from ebony, cut that ever into skinny pieces, then she clean up with her face, but I'll if I kill any pain. Look what you've done. I'm a motherfucking star boy.
Back at the Ricardo Report, high school sports and hip hop. It's time to talk WCAC. So, of course, staying on the line with me, WCAC insider Mr. Darrell Balknight is right there and bringing onto the line Josh JBE Lloyd. Josh, you're not usually in these conversations right here, bro. Do you feel that special? You feel that?
I just feel that somebody's remembering that I've got knowledge about football, and when we talk WCAC, it's the best football on the East Coast, arguably the nation. So about time I'm back here.
Well, between me, you, and the wind, Josh, I mean, Darrell told me that he doesn't really like to be in segments with you, so that's the reason why you hadn't been.
Yeah, sure, Chad. I'm sure that's not you chopping up his words a little bit.
Okay. All right. Well, moving on. We got some very, very important games to talk about coming up this weekend right here. Closing regular season weekend in the WCAC. Two monster games. Gonzaga St. John's, DeMatha Good Counsel. That one, of course, is going to be on television. Let's talk about the 2 and 3 seeds first. Gonzaga versus St. John's. D, your alma mater, you heard from Coach T last week. What do you think about this game?
Well, it's just going to be interesting because it's the last game of the regular season for both teams. So you really can't predict how any of the two games are going to play out between the four teams. But, you have to just look at it on a broader scale to see which team is going to come out and compete the hardest, you know, because DeMatha is the number one seed. That's set in stone. Now, it could flip-flop between Gonzaga and St. John's at some point. So if they really want some sort of advantage going into the playoffs, then obviously a lot of the guys are going to play their hardest. They're going to do their best in the last game of the season. But it's going to be interesting to see which team comes out on top.
Now, if I'm a St. John's cadet, like the mindset that you're coming with, D, I understand that for Gonzaga. If you're St. John's, though, so much of this team is new. You see what I'm saying? Like so much of it, so many new players have been added to it, and they've had so many expectations. I have to expect that they really want this game. Don't you think that, Josh? Don't you think that St. John's really wants this game to solidify themselves as the number two seed and to say that they only lost one game to DeMatha? Because St. John's, man, I mean, whether they say it out loud or not, I'm sure that they wanted to go undefeated, if not for the whole season, at least in WCAC play.
Absolutely. I mean, we all know how good St. John's has been. We all know that they've got the athletes. I mean, we're talking about Mr. Stanley Hubbard, Mr. Calvin Ashley, Mr. Kasim Hill, Mr. Maryland, of course, because he's going to be playing for my Terps next year. And they are going to be coming into this game with a chip on their shoulder and something to prove. They missed out on the playoffs last season. They intend to win it all this season. I'm very excited for this game because we've already talked about the names on St. John's. As Monet would say, we've had them in our mouths all season.
Wait, what on earth? Goodness gracious.
Those are her words, not mine.
Okay.
You can roll back the tape. But, hey, the Eagles of Gonzaga College have some studs, too. I mean, we've got Johnny Jordan, 4-star, headed to Maryland. We've got Max Fisher, great receiver, headed to NC State. Sam Brown and Tyree Randolph, two of the greatest to lace it up for the Eagles. This is a senior class that has been one of the best ones in the last decade for Gonzaga. They're going to bring it all. I've got this game going down to the wire. Coaches are going to be a little conservative with their play calling, knowing that they're going to see each team, they're going to see these each other in the playoffs. But I've got to give the edge to St. John's. It's going to be a big defensive stop for them because that's what they've been hanging their hat on all season.
So this is this a result of our interview where we talked about you to Coach Kaz? And Coach Kaz said, though, because you've had SJC on this yo-yo all year, so now you're making up to them?
Yeah, you heard me.
Coach Kaz was not happy about that. Darrell, you heard Coach Kaz was not happy.
Kaz pretending like I haven't been standing for the cadets all season, okay? I might as well. I told you I was driving this bandwagon.
I
had to do my rankings as impartial and reflective of what was happening, and there was a bit of yo-yoing in the top five.
Right? Yeah, now.
In the top five all season.
I feel you on that. Give us a score. What do you got this game?
I got it 21-17.
21-17 SJC. You know what? I look at this game, and again, listen, everyone knows how much I'm such a huge Gonzaga fan. I Coach T, Tyree, all the people. I'm not even going to name the list because Josh, you already did. I'm not even going to go through them. But I got faith in these boys. I got faith in these boys that in the biggest games they are going to step up. They're going to stand up and they're going to get the job done in the biggest of games. That said, this is not actually the biggest of games. Next week would be the biggest of games. So as much as I hate to have these words come out of my mouth, I'm going with Joshie Laurie on this, and I'm taking the St. John's Cadets to get it done against Gonzaga this week in the final round of the regular season. D!
I have to agree with both of you.
Oh, no!
No, but listen. Before the season began, I predicted that DeMatha would be 1, St. John's 2, Gonzaga 3.
This now, you did say.
And St. John's and Gonzaga could flip-flop after this game. Gonzaga would be 3, St. John's 2. So I also believe that, you know, being the final regular season game, coaches don't want to pull everything out the bag. And it's going to be a home game for St. John's. So I'm going to take the Cadets. Not saying that Gonzaga won't take it seriously, but Coach T and those boys can pull something out of the bag once the biggest games come, like you said, Chad. So I'm taking them in the playoff next week.
You're giving your next week pick already?
I'm giving my next week pick already. We'll talk about it more next week, but I'm going ahead and taking Gonzaga next week.
Yeah, you want that library card back?
No, I already got it back. It's in my cardigan upstairs.
Oh, there we go. I thought Coach T didn't like the Cardigan. What was that, Josh?
I'll be able to give a full preview of both playoff matchups as I plan to be at both of these regular season finales this weekend.
Josh Eloy will be in attendance, hopefully down there on the sidelines, checking out this game with you. Moving on to the other one. Now, this one, not only will you be at the other one, Josh, DeMatha Good Counsel, but ESPN's going to be there. I think Pookie and Ray Ray are going to be there. Everybody's going to be at this game.
I got a couple buddies who are Falcons alum who are going to be there with me as well. But I hate to go against you, Joe, but I've got to take the Massa Catholic in this one. And it's not going to be that close.
Wow.
It's going to be a competitive game, but I feel like it's going to be a 2-touchdown lead when it's all said and done for the Stags.
You know what? I was speaking with a DeMatha source. We will call this young man unnamed, an unnamed DeMatha source. And he said that he felt as though Good Counsel was going to bring it in this game, man. He pointed to the fact that Josh Pascal is likely the top defensive player in the WCAC. He pointed to the fact that Muhammad Ibrahim is likely the top offensive player in the WCAC. Pointed to the fact that they have got a secondary full of absolute savages and that they can step up and make the plays when it counts. So, D, given the information from this inside DeMatha source, what do you think?
Well, I agree with him. I think it's going to be a really competitive game. I think Good Counsel is going to bring it no matter what. Because they definitely want to finish with a 7-3 record on the year. They want to be 4-2 in the WCAC. They want to possibly climb a spot in the standings. But it goes back to the St. John's Gonzaga game. The last game of the season, you don't know what both coaches are going to bring. I think it's going to be really competitive as well. And I think DeMatha will get the win and finish undefeated for the regular season in the end. But that doesn't mean Good Counsel isn't going to bring it. It's going to be a really hard, tough, competitive game.
And you know what? I was probably the broader question is that when I was speaking with this unnamed DeMatha source, I was talking about him about, if I was the coach, I wouldn't know exactly what I would do. We didn't have Elijah Brooks as an interview last week, but this is what we should have asked him is exactly what he would do in this situation, because you are the one seed. You can't, even in a victory, you don't necessarily accomplish anything because your goal is to win that chip. However, we know these DeMatha guys, and they are in a drive for an undefeated season. As much as they've accomplished, not only this year, but over the span of the last few years, they don't have that undefeated season. So that's what they're going for right now. I believe they come out there and they go for it, and I believe that DeMatha gets this W as well.
Yep, I agree.
And speaking to your point, of course they're going to go for it, and of course all coaches are going to be playing their starters in this game. Not necessarily because it's the smartest move, just because we all know football's a physical game. We got body parts flying, injuries happen, but because it's the right thing. Because right now, it's your seniors and your juniors who are playing, but your sophomores and your freshmen are sitting on the sideline, and they're seeing when the coach is like, okay, correct, you know what, let's take the gas, put off the gas. And you know what? We said that we were going to go full tilt all season, so that's what we're going to do.
Well, and beyond that, man, I mean, look, this Good Counsel team, last year, good counsel. What were they, 6-4 in the regular season? And they looked like, you know, the fourth team. They looked like the fourth team out of three WCAC powerhouses. They looked like the clear-cut fourth team. And then in the playoffs, they, unfortunately, D, for you and I, in the playoffs, they went in and they knocked off Gonzaga because they built that momentum. I think the last thing that DeMatha wants to do is give this chance the life and to give them the belief that they can beat them next week. So you want to kill an ant with a slit, not to call. Oh man, at GC football is going to tweet me right. I'm not calling. You want to kill an ant with a sledgehammer, which is not to call a GC an ant, because guys, you're not. But you know that's what you want to do. You guys agree with that? Okay, good. Okay. Look, we promise we weren't calling you an ant, guys. We weren't.
No, we weren't.
Yeah, all right. So let's make sure that we got this straight. In game one, we're all on SJC. Are we all on SJC in game one?
Yes, sir.
For three, yep.
And then we're all on DeMatha in game two.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, man. Man, we are setting ourselves up for a very interesting show next week. And Josh, you'll be down there on the sidelines. So, guys, if you don't like our choice, take it out with Josh E. Lori. He'll be right down there with you.
Just letting good counsel fans know, I'm going to be with the former defensive lineman, so you can deal with him if you want to get to me.
Yep, heard it there first. Guys, we'll be right back with you. We got to talk about more football. This is the Ricardo Report. Listen, the studio is so empty today, Josh. Now it's just it's just you and I.
I don't know. Maybe you're coughing or something. Maybe you've got bad breath. I don't know why everybody's running away from you today.
All right. Well, no matter who is here, it is time for us to recap a couple of the major games that went down last week. I'm going to start out there with my people, my dudes, my goons. It's actually some people out there that are getting a little upset. They feel as though I'm showing favoritism. I'm not. St. Francis Academy is just that good. The boys, they're that good, people. And I hate to say I called it, but I called it. I've called it ever since I saw them take down my other people at Bishop Sullivan. This is a tough team. They're a hard-nosed team. They punch you in the mouth 1 minute, and then the next minute, Zay Robinson is throwing over top for touchdowns the next minute, and then the next minute, the defense is shutting people. I mean, look, Josh, this SFA squad, bro, they're real.
I mean, there's a reason why you nicknamed them DeMatha North.
DeMatha North! I said it, and I think people thought that I was crazy, maybe you included.
I did not think you were crazy.
Okay.
I have been admitted that I was wrong about the squad. I underestimated them. In all honesty, we all did, because we
We didn't realize the regime shift that happened at St. Francis, going from winning two games last year to probably being the best team in the DMV outside of the WCAC.
Right. Well, you know what? See, now I think that's a slight. I can't let you off the hook on that. I can't let you. If they're in the WCAC, where do you think that they are right now? Place-wise.
I think they're fifth place.
Really?
But I think they've got a shot. I think they've got a shot at making the playoffs coming into this week.
Look, Coach Hank. Look, Zay. All my people out buttons on Twitter. All my people out there. Look, he's still disrespecting you, bruh. Still disrespecting you. Fifth place in the WCAC. Okay. You know what, though? Wait.
Fifth place in the WCAC isn't disrespectful. I mean, you look at the Mustangs over at Baker McNamara. They can play with anybody in the nation.
If you'd have seen this team play, you would not say that they're a fifth-place team. They're built like a WCAC squad. Just trust and believe me on that. You'll have to see them one day. But look,
And you know what? That's why I said fifth place. They are in the middle of the pack. They have a chance at a playoff spot this weekend. Or did you forget that I said that?
Right now, we are being disrespectful because we're giving all of this attention to SFA and we're not talking about Spalding. This Spalding squad, I want to give them all the credit in the world, as we have. I had one of our fans hit me up on Facebook the other day and again say that I was being disrespectful to the Spalding squad. I feel as though all of us have given Spalding the credit that they deserve. They were in each of our top 10s, if not in our top 5s. This Spalding squad is for real. Evan Faulkman is for real. I think running back Julius Chestnut, correct me if that's I'm sorry if I got your name a little bit wrong, but that young man is for real. This squad is good. Now, Josh, they showed heart and determination in this game. St. Francis actually jumped out to an early 18-0 lead, and I'm going to be real with you. I thought that from 18-0, they would just pound Spalding into submission, man. I thought that they'd get the ball to Gary Brightwell, and then, they would run out the clock and end up winning by 30. Spalding came all the way back and had a chance to win this game.
Yeah, the most impressive thing is the Spalding defense in this game. Because we all know what they've been doing on offense. They have been putting up ridiculous numbers all season. But the fact that their defense was able to slow down after falling back so far or so early in the game, that they were able to catch up to St. Francis. I mean, I got to tip the cap to those goons on the defensive front and to the coaching staff, because you know there had to be some interesting blitzes coming Isaiah Robinson's way.
Absolutely. So definitely shout out and a ton of love and respect given to Spalding. Do I believe that St. Francis is the best team in the state of Maryland? I absolutely do. But I also believe that Spalding is the second best team. And I know that winners don't like to be second, but this Spalding team is for real, bro. So to all of the Spalding Nation out there, understand that I am giving your squad love and respect. No disrespect whatsoever.
Okay, and I'm just going to chalk up you saying they're the best to not count in the WCAC in the state of Maryland because they got some boys in different states and counties and such.
Well, again, a little off topic. I do believe that DeMatha is the number one team on the East Coast, and they're in Maryland. But beyond outside of DeMatha, bruh, I'm not putting anybody else.
I'm going to have to show Coach Kaz and his staff this tape after you threw me under the bus last week.
I count them as being in D.C. That's the reason why.
Okay, yes. Okay, you get off on that technicality.
St. John's is technically in D.C., yes. St. John's and Gonzaga, technically in D.C.
I'll give you that technicality.
Okay, thank you.
Especially
thank you
on
very
the
much.
St. John's
thank you. But real talk, good counsel. They are in the state of Maryland, and I take St. Francis over Good Counsel 9 out of 10 days of the week, bruh. Just saying. Wow. Just saying. Okay. Moving on to public schools, though. Another couple of big-time schools programs in the state of Maryland. Damascus, who is arguably the top public school program in the state of Maryland. They had a game with Seneca Valley the other night. I was in the building, had a chance to see this wonderful fan base, had a chance to see all of these wonderful student athletes, Adrian Feliz Platt, of course, Marcus Vincent out there, and Damascus, man, bruh, Josh, after the first quarter, they were up by a score 28-7. In a blink of an eye, they were up.
I mean, I still, to a certain extent, stand behind my criticisms of Damascus and why they've been in the lower part of the top 10. But I gotta give them their due. I mean, they just came out and were like, you know what? We gotta show everybody that we're the ballers, that we know we are, but they don't know we are. And they did that.
You're daggone right they did. And let me tell you, Cedric Cole on defense, Seneca Valley's issue was turnovers early in the game. Cedric Cole had two returns for touchdowns in that first quarter, setting the tone major. Like I said, Marcus Vinson, I think Marcus Vinson had rushed for over 200 yards and three touchdowns shortly after halftime. So he had a huge game. Also had a running back, Elijah Atkins, over there. Atkins was getting it done. He had over 100 yards on the ground as well. This Damascus team is for real. You know, the question, when people question our top 10s and they say, why is Damascus even in the top? It should just be all WCAC, should just be all MIAA. Well, you know what? That wouldn't be fun. That wouldn't be fair. That if you want to do that, you just have a full private school ranking. It's not to say that we honestly believe that Damascus would beat Good Counsel, because I don't, which is not a disrespect to Damascus. I don't think that they would beat them, but this Damascus program, you cannot and should not take anything away from, you cannot, should not take anything away from Wise. These are two excellent programs, and they deserve every ounce of credit and respect that they get every night out there.
Absolutely. And I gotta say, I tip my cap to them. And when the end of year rankings come out, it'll be reflected what they've done.
Sure they will. Damascus, that young man disrespects you every week on the show. Oh, I promise you. If you don't, just go ahead and run him back. Go ahead and run him back. Go ahead and run him back and listen to him.
Okay, Mr. Politician Chad Ricardo. Yeah, you're not going to let me try and make amends with other sides of the fence?
Listen. Listen, they're in my backyard, so this is my jurisdiction up here. That's all I have to say about that. I do, though, want to give a shout-out to the young man, Adrian Felice Platt. Like I said, my first time seeing him in person, and he's that good, Josh. The young man is that good. I thought
that
maybe...
You don't put up the numbers he did unless you are a legit star. I can't wait to see what school scoops him up. Because he is a sleeper on the recruiting.
He absolutely is. I thought that maybe it was just, maybe it was a team that he was playing against. Maybe it was this, maybe it was that. But if you look at his all-around numbers, I think that he's rushed for over 2,000 yards this year. I think that going into this game, he had 28 touchdowns. He had a couple of more in this game as well. The kid is dynamic in the open field. When you think of a third down back, when the Darren Sproles kind of back, when you think of a back like that, Adrian, the kid is that. He's all of that. It's so difficult to tackle in the open field. He's got speed. He's got moves. Adrian Felice Platt is the real deal in colleges. I don't care his size. I don't care about his size. Get him in the weight room. Put him on a meal plan. He'll put on the 20 to 30 pounds. Adrian Felice Platt is special, and he deserves an offer from you. Josh, that's the moment where you say, that's right.
Well, I mean, you said all that needed to be said.
Okay.
Anything else that I added would have been, just me rambling like this.
It's just been Josh being Josh.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. All right. The final game that I want to talk to you about, though, is the one that maybe it didn't break your heart. You know what I'm saying? Because you like to say that you don't have favorites and that, you know, that you're not really all that concerned and whatnot. Well, I'll tell you, South County is one of about the rest of our favorite squads out there. They've got a ton of great young men on that team, a team that we've had an opportunity to get close to, and we've got big time feelings for South County. They've got a game coming up with Lake Braddock. It was supposed to be the matchup of the regular season matchup of the year in the VA6A.
The matchup of the year. Let's be real. It still is the matchup of the year.
Okay. We're going to talk about that game a lot more next segment. But before that, though, this game, this week, West Potomac, they lost. Not only did they lose, but they only scored 21 points. Josh, what do you think?
I mean, I'm surprised. I feel like West Potomac must have been playing keep away, because when you got an offense centered around Jack McDaniels and Dylan Spaulding, the fact that they didn't put up 30 is mind-boggling.
This is a team that in the last six games, the lowest point total that they had put up was 48 points in the last six games. So for them to only score 21, like, that's That's tough, man. I mean, I had just seen Jack. I had just seen Jack McDaniels. He was our student athlete of the week. We were at Thrive. He had the cryotherapy session. You know what I mean? And this team, but it just goes to show that Monae Anderson always likes to say any given Friday or Saturday night, any given Friday or Saturday night. And look, West Potomac, because again, there's teams that feel like we're being disrespectful sometimes. West Potomac, they're 7-2. So it's not like they're slouches out here. They are a tough team. The only squads that they've lost to, let's see, they lost to Braddock in overtime, and they lost to T.C. Williams by one. So it's not like they're slouches out there, but it is a surprise to see South County be shut down and held to just 21 points.
That it is.
Let me ask you this, Josh, because this South County team, I mean, this is a team, again, I've met Coach P, Jack McDaniels, Dylan Spaulding, my main man Massey out there, the running backs, the other receivers. I love this squad, but in a big game, do you trust them?
You see, this is the thing about program building, because that's what South County is in the early stages of doing, building a program that can have the sustained success. And really, you are having games like this, not so much for this season, because yeah, you would love to win a state title with these guys, but you're really doing it for the underclassmen who are watching it. And as we spoke on with our WCAC preview, it's all about making sure they know what you need to do, the work you put in. So I'm going to look at all of this from a bigger scheme. Yeah, there are some questions on if they're going to be able to handle the moment right now, but ultimately you're building for 2 years from now so those seniors can handle the moment.
So you trust them in a big game or you don't trust them in a big game? I'm confused, Josh. Answer the question.
I trust them, but
One to ten. That's a little bit. What's your trust level? 1 to 10.
7.5.
Oh no, that doesn't sound very good at all. That's a C average, Josh. That's a C average.
75%.
So
that is a solid C plus.
That's a C average. That's what I said,
that's
Josh.
A C plus.
It's right in the middle. It's a C of a C. It's right in the middle of a C. A C of a C. At SoCo Football, that's Joshie Lloyd. You know what? I do trust South County. Now, we're going to get to this Braddock-SoCo game coming up in just a moment. But I do trust South County. I do believe in them. I do believe in Coach P. I do believe in Jack McDaniels. I do believe in this offense. I believe that the offense will score enough points that the defense can allow 25 and they can still win. But I do believe in this squad. So my trust level for them is way up higher than what yours is. So much so I'm not even giving you an official number. But you know what? Let's just talk about SoCo Braddock coming up in the next break. We got SoCo Braddock. We got MIAA, St. Francis, Mount St. Joe's. I want to talk about it all. Keep it locked right here. It's the Ricardo Report.
The best music. Major key. Major key. DJ Khaled.
Yeah. I go on and on. Can't understand how I last so long. I must have the superpowers. Last 223,000 hours and it's... 'Cause I'm off of CC, and I'm off the Hennessy, and like your boy from Compton said, you know this ain't free. I got girls that I should've made pay for it, got girls that I should've made wait for it, I got girls that'll cancel a flight back home, stay another day for it. You got attitude on 99, yo, on agua, and yo, stomach on flat, and yo, on what's that, and yeah, I need it all right now. Last year I had drama, girl, not right now. I would never go and chat, what we talking about? You the only one I know can fit. Man, I always wonder if you ask yourself, is it just me? Is it just me? Or is this so, so good I shouldn't have to for free? Is it just me? Yeah, is it just me? Is this so, so good I shouldn't have to I know you working day and night to get a college degree. Bet nobody that you've been with even know you're free, right? You know you only do that with me, right? Yeah, double checking on you. You know I never put the pressure on you. You know that you make your own mind up. You knew what it was when you signed up. Now you gotta run it up. I be out of words trying to sum it up. Girl, you throw it back like one love. Even let me slash on the tour bus. Yeah, I told her, but she don't do enough. Even though you in a hood, I'm still pulling up.
dip, dip straight to your doorstep. This a real thing, can you feel the force yet?
That's what I'm saying, man. I mean, you know, we know that JG is a homer, and that Josh, that you don't really know any. Oh, we're back! Just me. We're back! High School Sports and Hip Hop. This is the Ricardo Report. Chad Ricardo right here, Josh. JV Elory right there. We're feeling
a little. That was real cute. Pretending you didn't know when we were coming back. Oh. That was real cute.
Oh, well, JG is he is a homer. I mean, we love him, but he okay. All right. Look, Josh, it's time for Pick'em Games, bro. It's time for Pick'em Games. And look, I want to do this. We got big time high school football games to talk about. I know that that the show report says that's what we're going to talk about. But before that, I want to talk to you about the GYFL. I want to talk to you about the GYFL, about this championship game. Boy Elite, Maryland Heat. Who wins this game and why?
Well, you know how on NFL countdown shows, people who are calling the games aren't allowed to give a prediction?
Right.
I'm going to use that rule as a cop-out because it's going to be one hell of a contest. I mean, we already saw these two teams face off. It was one of the most anticipated GYFL games we've ever seen. Everybody was out there. I'm talking Calvert Hall, DeMatha, St. John's, Good Counsels. All the coaches were out there to see these young men play. It was a great contest. Of course, we saw Caleb Williams with his heroics. Last second touchdown. We can't forget about the running back, El Farouk. He's an absolute beast. Neil and I nicknamed him the Freak because that is how he is as an athlete. But we all know who the Maryland Heat are, okay? They are a national powerhouse. We're talking about Antoine Littleton. We're talking about Austin Tudis. We're talking about Zion Larkins, Caleb Coombs, Mikey Keene. We're also talking about Christian Taylor. They've got goons. They're going to bring it. It's going to be another game that goes down to the wire, and probably the last team that has the ball is going to be the one that wins it.
I couldn't have said that better myself, Josh Elory. That was pretty good.
I have a way with words at times.
All right, moving on to the high school game. Three big games. First one we're going to talk about, my dudes from Pilates. My guys out there at Pilates, they are on what, a 7-8-9 game winning streak. The boys are hot. They, you know, and you said this. You actually said this. We had an opportunity to talk to Blake Corum after they lost that heartbreaking game to Bullis. And Blake told you what about their schedule after that game?
We ain't losing again.
And you know what? They have it. And they go into Riverdale Baptist against our main man, DJ Gallant, a.k.a. DJ Galat. In this game, it's a big game for DJ and Riverdale Baptist. They want to win. They want to make it in the season at 7-3, I believe, 6-4. But they want this game as well. Pilates wants it. Who do you got and why?
You know what? I've really got to give it the edge to Riverdale Baptist by 3.
Mm.
And again, it goes back to what I was saying. It's about program building. Pilates, at this point, they are in the beginning stages of rebuilding that program to be a powerhouse. They already are looking like the dominant team in the MIAAB, but they are looking to build a squad that competes with the teams in the MIAAA. And this game is one of those games. But like I said, Riverdale Baptist, they've got absolute beasts there. We talk about DJ Galat a lot, but they've got a bunch of other athletes on that team.
Tariq Castro Fields, running back Carlos Williams out there, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I love this Pilates team, but right now they don't have the stallions to keep up with the Crusaders.
Man, Cam Sullivan Brown, did you hear what he just said? Man, James Patterson, did you hear what he... Man, Jared Patterson, did you hear what he just said? He said that y'all don't got the stallions to keep up with this Riverdale Baptist team. Well, Josh, let me tell you why you're wrong, brother. I got to tell you, this Pilates squad, we had an opportunity to go out there and see them, and you should feel ashamed of yourself because they were so welcoming, so greeting, so warm to us when we went out there to their practice field. And then you're going to come out here and say that they don't have the stallions. I'll tell you, they got the heart to play with anybody. They scrimmaged DeMatha. They played with them. They played with aftermath of when they scrimmage them. They have won 8 games in a row, and they've won 8 games in a row for a reason. This team is for real. I love DJ Galata. I love them. And you know what? Riverdale Baptist is coming off of a loss. They lost to Avalon. At first, I really questioned that because Avalon only, it was Avalon's first victory on the season. But then if you look deeper at Avalon's schedule, Avalon has played just about every team in our top 10. So to lose to Avalon, and they played them well, they just came up short in the end. So to lose to Avalon is no disrespect whatsoever. But what I do think that it did is that it does put a shadow of doubt in the mind of Riverdale Baptist, whereas coming off of 8 consecutive victories, it's difficult to feel more confident than what Pilate feels right now. I think that those boys go into Riverdale Baptist, the Patterson boys, Cam Sullivan Brown, this is a legacy game for them. And in as much, they want to win this game to solidify them taking Pilate to the next level. Coach Ian, you know, Coach Justin, I'm riding for you all. I say that I love Dion Gallant, but that Pilate wins this game. And you'll be wrong, Josh.
I was waiting for you to add that.
Yeah, I just had to put that one in there. Next game, St. Francis Academy taking on Mount St. Joe's. Boy, this game would have been a lot more interesting had Mount St. Joe's not laid an egg against McDonough last week.
Yeah, I mean, can we take a second to just allow me to bask in me being right on the upset for once?
You know what? Right. Yeah.
Can I take 30 seconds to just be like, yes! I'm never going to say that on this show.
I apologize to
all the listeners.
Right. Guys, I'm sorry. I sure as hell hope you never say that. My God. Jeez.
I had a pumpkin spice latte, okay? I got talking to this weekend. It's not my fault.
Well, you did. To your credit, you did put on for McDonough last week. You said that you, as you've said 25 times during this show, that they are a program. You actually stole that from me. That they are a program and that they would step up and get it done. They did. Mount St. Joe's, just not as sharp as they have been. Love Christian Carter. He's, you know, big-time quarterback. I wish the best for him, but the young man did throw 5 interceptions in that game, helped McDonough be able to pull what I would call an upset in that one. And so now, I would have given them a puncher's chance against St. Francis, but now, bruh, now I believe that there's going to be some punching going on, but not a lot of it is going to be coming from MSJ. My main man, Ahmad McCullough, I love you, bro. I hope you get a sack. Don't like hurt Zay. Just like take him down easily, because I love both of you all. Zay's my dude. But I think that St. Francis wins this game by about 20 points, bro. I don't think that this game is going to be close.
It's not going to be close. Like we said, St. Francis, they've got one of the best teams outside of the WCAC in the region. We already saw them take care of the most talented squad from the 757, so we know they're legit. They're going to continue to look like a power to be reckoned with in the MIAA conference for the next couple of seasons, at the minimum.
And Coach Hoser, we love you. You are our guy. Next year you'll get him, but this year this is St. Francis Academy. This is their year, bro. This is their year. They win that game. Finally, Lake Braddock taking on South County. This is the big one. I know that you were chomping at the bit to get to this one during the last segment. We can go ahead. Let's have it out now. Again, two of our favorite teams, guys that we know really well. This is Mr. Lamont Atkins. I was just with him yesterday, as a matter of fact. He was our player of the week, Cool Under Pressure, presented by Thrive. He was our player of the week. I was with him. Great young man, wonderful family. Shout out to all of them. Shout out Ricky Lewis. Had an opportunity to meet him as well. They're taking on Jack McDaniels, the previous week's Cool Under Pressure by Thrive, student athlete of the week. Who do you got in this game?
You're not going to like it. Jared's not going to like it. My name's probably going to like it, though. I've got to go with Lake Braddock. We've already seen that you've got to have a team that's got a strong running game so you can eat up the clock. Keep Jack McDaniels, weekend seeping into my business, and Dylan Spaulding off the field. And that's exactly what Lake Braddock can do in Lamont Atkins and Ibrahim Marseille.
You know, Mansouray. Just Mansouray. First name. Mansouray. I got you, bro. Mansouray.
you know these names that aren't Arab or African give me headaches.
I know they get to you. Yeah.
But no, if they continue to control the ground as they've done in most of their contests this week, especially those big offensive linemen opening up those running holes for Atkins and Marisay, they should be able to win this one by a touchdown.
It's Mansaray. Mansaray.
Moving
right along. One of the things that I found out the other day that I didn't know, Lamont Atkins actually is their starting middle linebacker as well. I know that we knew that he played defense, but it's I thought that he played more the outside or the safety, but that's significant because as the starting middle linebacker, so much responsibility on the defensive side of the ball falls on your shoulders from the mental perspective as well as the physical perspective. Now, I love Lamont. I think that he's one of the best players in Virginia. But when you're playing against this fast-paced, up-tempo South County offense and you're expected to carry the ball and to play defense against it, I think that that gets a little tough, bro. And I know that they got Mansaray as well. But it gets a little tough, bro. So I believe that at the end of the day, in a battle of attrition, I believe that South County ends up winning this game in South County, but the two teams will likely meet up again in the playoffs.
And that will be one hell of a contest.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for our Pick'em games. And look, I know we got people upset with us right now. Look, the Atkins family is like, Chad, we just shook your hand. We just shook your hand for you to go again. I love you. See you again in the playoffs, and we'll see who wins that one. But I think the South County is going to take this game right here. Josh Elory, you have been absolutely phenomenal today. Want to give thanks to everybody else that has contributed to the show. Rodney Jiggs Johnson, WCAC Insider Darrell Balk Knight, producer Jaron Glover, Mona Anderson. We hope you feel better a little later on down the stretch. Also want to give a thanks to you, and especially you, because without you, we could not be your official source of high school sports in the DMV. On behalf of Josh Elory, I am your host, Chad Ricardo, and this is the Ricardo Report. Happy birthday, Mom.